Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. It is 1:37 PM, April 24th, 2024. With me today is Chairman Hoffman, Chairman Olson, Senator Bishop, Senator Merrick, Senator Keel, Senator Wilson, Senator Stedman. We have a full committee today to do business. We have two items on the agenda. We're going to take up House Bill 268, which is the operating budget for FY25. Following that, House Bill 270, the mental health budget. So we'll bring up those bills. We'll ask for amendments. We do have amendments on the operating budget. There's five of them. We'll walk through for those watching at home. That's the process of the day. So we'll go ahead and start with House Bill 268, the operating budget. Senator Hoffman may have a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Finance Committee adopt Senate CS for CS for House Bill 268 finance /O as our working document.
And I will object for explanation and ask Mr. Pete Eklund to come forward and walk us through the changes in the CS. And Mr. Eklund, when you're done with that, maybe just stay in the chair in case there's questions on any amendments that may, or questions that committee members may have.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Pete Eklund, staff to Senator Stedman and the Senate Finance Committee. Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to walk through a document that explains the changes from this, we call it CS2, this version O, to the previous committee substitute that was adopted. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to start reading. I know it's everybody's favorite thing, but just try to get through this quickly, Mr. Chairman. For the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, on page 4, lines 29 and 30, there was a $403,500 UGF unrestricted general funds added to the Alaska Legal Services Corporation. When combined with the $696,500 that was already in the budget for this purpose, the total available to the corporation is $1.1 million. On page 5, lines 17 through 21, there's relating to the Alaska Tourism Industry Association. There's a replacement with new intent, Mr. Chairman, regarding the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute and the Alaska Tourism Industry Association. And the new intent now asks that $1.5 million that is appropriated to each, or to both ASME and to ATIA, be used by both recipients to cooperate and collaborate to efficiently deploy marketing dollars to jointly support Alaska seafood and Alaska as a destination for tourism. Mr. Chairman, on page 7, lines 11 through 16, for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, we've increased federal authority to $13 million and changed the transaction title to the existing $10 million of unrestricted general funds that were already appropriated to ASME. We changed that title to General Funds to Match FY23 Industry Contributions to ASME. And we've also changed that from a one-time increment to a base increment, Mr. Chairman. Then on page 7, lines 6 through 10, we have the same intent language that I spoke of just a few seconds ago relating to ASME and ATIA cooperating jointly with $1.5 million each of their appropriations. And on page 7, lines 11 through 16, we've had some clarifying intent to the ASME appropriation. I'll just read here, Mr. Chairman. It's the intent of the legislature to match the level of seafood industry contributions from the most recent closed fiscal year in an amount not to exceed $10 million, and that the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute limit expenditures of statutory designated program receipts to $10 million. And in this case, the SDPR, Mr. Chairman, is industry contributions. It is further the intent that ASME manage available resources to have between a $10 to $15 million available for non-international marketing purposes annually for the fiscal years FY25 through FY27. To the Department of Education and Early Development, on page 12, lines 11 through 13, we've added $155.3 million of general fund match and $35,800 of federal authority to the Department of Education, Alaska State Council on the Arts, to fully account for federal authorization and to and the related match, general fund match. On page 12, line 21, Mount Edgecombe High School, there's $500,000 of unrestricted general funds added to provide, round-trip airfare, allowing students to travel home for Christmas over the winter break and return for the remainder of the school year. The Office of the Governor, Mr. Chairman, we've added various intent here, and I'll try to summarize, Mr. Chairman. On page 18, line 32, we've added new intent that asks for the implementation of the statewide salary survey that's underway right now, and for a report by December 20th, 2024, from the Office of the Governor to the co-chairs as to the steps taken to date and future actions needed to fully implement the recommendations of the salary survey. Mr. Chairman, there are not just within the Office of the Governor, but in various departments scattered throughout the bill, we've renamed the state facilities rent appropriations and allocations to state facilities maintenance and operations to better conform with state statutes. Per AS 3707-020E, agencies are required to present their operating budgets for facilities maintenance and operations separately from other budget items. These have previously been put forward in their respective budgets under the facilities rent allocations. This committee substitute renames those allocations to facilities maintenance and operations to better align with state statute and to gain a better understanding of the budgetary needs required to maintain state assets. Intent language is also included in the Office of the Governor requesting adherence to this statute. Likewise, Mr. Chairman, the committee substitute includes similar intent language asking for a report which would identify operating and maintenance costs for non-state equipment fleet vehicles, aircraft, and vessels in an attempt to better understand the cost requirements for these assets and the potential for their itemization in future budgets. With the combination of renaming allocations and the related intent, we're starting the process of better identification of these maintenance and asset costs so improvements can be made in future budgets, in the future budget analysis and development. There's a couple different intents there, Mr. Chairman, that I won't read, but I just tried to summarize them there. There's another intent requested by the Office of the Governor that we would include on page 19, lines 15 through 20. It's a new intent asking that the executive branch implement automation of processes and delivery of state services where possible. On to the Department of Health. Formerly in the last committee substitute, formerly on page 23, line 16, we've deleted $15 million of unrestricted general funds that was added in the Senate subcommittee for the Department of Health Medicaid services for back funding for federally qualified health centers. The transaction was removed to allow the Department of Health to complete its review and audit processes before any additional payments are considered.
If you can stop there just for a minute, those watching at home, a couple of days ago we had a hearing here at the full Senate Finance Committee on that subject, and all senators participated in and put forth their opinion on this issue, and it was concluded that there was a substantial lack of support at this time for that item, so we pulled it out of the subcommittee report. And we worked with the subcommittee chairman along the way, both for the inclusion of it in the original report and the removal when we went through the process.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 20, lines 18 and 19, we added federal receipt authority of $3 million to support behavioral health programs. And that was a governor's amendment request on April 9th. On page 21, lines 14, we added $7.5 million of unrestricted general funds to Department of Health Public Assistance Child Care Benefits for the Child Care Grant Program to maintain the support provided to the child care sector. On page 22, lines 4 and 5, there was a governor's amendment on April 9th for utilize the opioid settlement to combat the opioid epidemic. This is a rather long temporary increment, Mr. Chairman, from FY25 through FY40. Of $4.39 million of statutory designated program receipts. This will allow the division to utilize the opioid settlement funds over the life of the settlement to offer a continuous grant program. On page 22, line 6, we've changed the transaction title in the Department of Health Public Health Epidemiology from Support Efforts to Eliminate Congenital Syphilis to Support Efforts to Eliminate Tuberculosis and Congenital Syphilis. The funding for these allocations remain unchanged. On page 23, line 16, we've added $7.5 million of federal authority and $7.5 million of general fund match for $15 million total to the Department of Health Medicaid Services to increase reimbursement rates for providers of home and community-based services. We've included new intent on page 24, lines 3 through 7, stating entities receiving the increased reimbursement rates for providing these home and community-based services pass along a 5% wage increase to their employees. Under the University of Alaska, Mr. Chairman, on page 40, lines 4 through 8, there's new university intent language requesting the return of the Child's Frick, Alaska Quaternary Mammal Collection from the American Museum of Natural History. Now moving on to the supplemental numbers section, Mr. Chairman, in the Department of Corrections. On page 60, line four, we've added $256,600 of general funds for the Goose Creek Dental Contract. And that was also a governor's amendment on April 9th. Under the Alaska court system, on page 63, lines 12 through 14, we've added $5,000 of unrestricted general funds to the Commission on Judicial Conduct. This is a supplemental that is needed to true up a small shortfall in that area for travel. On to language section changes in the bill. On section 14, Supplemental Department of Education and Early Development. On page 68, line 27, there's a new section that amends a prior boarding school stipend grant from $2.1 million to $4.03 million and extends the appropriation to end on June 30th, 2025. Section 23, a supplemental fund transfer. Page 75, line 13, this is a governor's amendment that cleans up fund accounting by transferring $5.4 million of birth fees from the Ocean Ranger program account to the commercial passenger vessel environmental compliance account. On section 26, supplemental special appropriation, page 76, line 13 through 28. This amends the existing FY24 It's been called the waterfall language, Mr. Chairman. It's language that pertains to the surplus that might be available in FY24. And so the new waterfall language would state that revenue above $6.264 billion will be appropriated at a capped amount of $143.3 million to the dividend fund for an energy relief payment. Revenue beyond that, which had previously been directed to the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund, will now be directed to general surplus and be available for appropriation to the capital budget or for any other purpose. Section 36, Department of Education and Early Development, on page 84, lines 6 through 18. This is a new subsection H, provides a not to exceed amount of $5.2 million from the general fund for grant payments to school districts to provide support, intervention, and services that students need to reach reading proficiency by the end of grade 3. If the $5.2 million is not enough to fully fund the distribution formula, then each grant would be prorated equally. On page 84, lines 19 through 22, there's a new subsection I. It provides $7.3 million from the general fund to be distributed as grants to school districts for pupil transportation. And section 55 is a repealer section. On page 104, line 2, we added a new repeal of section 73Q, chapter 1, FSSLA 2023. This is a repeal of an estimated to be appropriation to the Alaska Capital Income Fund. After the annual comprehensive financial report came out, it was discovered that this appropriation was not necessary. And just as an aside, Mr. Chairman, two things with this. The bill came over from the other body to us with a repeal already in the bill. Talked to legislative legal services last night. They added repealing appropriations to the title of the bill. It should have been repealing appropriations should have been in the title of the bill when it came over from the other body, and it was not, and that was an error. And so we do not need a title change resolution. It's just a clerical fix to the title of the bill, Mr. Chairman. And also, there's a couple different appropriations in this legislation dealing with true-ups of fund balances. There's been some difficulty between the executive branch and legislative branch coming up with consistent fund balances at each track. And I just wanted to point out that the chairman, Senator Keel of the Department of Administration subcommittee included, I believe, funding for a new position to help with fund tracking, I believe. So that should help, Mr. Chairman, if that's approved. So, Mr. Chairman, I think those are all the changes I had for the operating budget.
Okay. I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the committee substitute. Is there further objection to the adoption of the committee substitute? Version O. Seeing none, version O is now our working document in front of us. Any questions on the budget as presented before we walk into the amendments? Okay, seeing none, we have several amendments here. We go through them in order. They've been already previously passed out. Senator Wilson, may we have a motion to adopt Amendment 1? Senator Olson.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I move that we adopt Amendment Number 1.
I'll go ahead and object to the adoption for discussion. Mr. Eklund, can you take us through Amendment Number 1?
Yeah, sure. Mr. Chairman, Amendment Number 1 is a cleanup amendment or a more technical amendment. The first portion, the first three portions relate to the legislature's budget. And the first one is $100,000 of unrestricted general funds to restore the existing contractual security services for the Anchorage Legislative Office building. The second part is $235,000 of general fund program receipts for increased program receipt authority for the assembly building apartments. Those were just items that were inadvertently left off of our report, Mr. Chairman. And they were approved by legislative council. And the last item for the legislature is just renaming the Technology and Information Services Division and the structure in the legislative finance reports. The subcommittee adopted that item, but it was inadvertently not changed in the reports. And so I'm just cleaning that up. And then lastly, Mr. Chairman, And the committee substitute in front of you, as I, when I was talking about the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, there was an existing appropriation of $10 million of unrestricted general funds to ASME, and we were to just rename that appropriation. And inadvertently, the $10 million got doubled in the CS in front of you, so there's $20 million of unrestricted general funds to ASME and the CS in front of you, and we need to remove $10 million to chew it up.
Thank you, Mr. Eklund. I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of Amendment Number 1. Any further objection or discussion on Amendment Number 1? Seeing none, Amendment Number 1 is adopted. We'll go on down to Amendment Number 2. Senator Merrick.
Thank you, Chair Stedman. I move Amendment Number 2.
I'll object for discussion. Senator Merrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment represents the number one priority of the bipartisan Anchorage legislative delegation, the mayor, and the assembly. As the finance member for the most populated area of our state, I offer Amendment Number 2. This amendment would fund a $4 million grant to provide a 100% match for the municipality of Anchorage to operate a year-round shelter at the former Solid Waste Services Administration building, and that's on East 56th Avenue in Midtown. In 2023, the municipality funded the emergency cold weather shelter at this location, which can house up to 200 people. There are two other Anchorage shelters slated to close in June, which together have the capacity to house 374 homeless Alaskans. So the need for this location to be kept open year-round is crucial, especially since the last two summers, Anchorage saw over 1,000 homeless living outside, which contributes to a significant burden and cost to our public safety officers. Mr. Chairman, approximately 50% of the homeless population in Anchorage are from outside of the municipality, so this is a statewide issue. I appreciate the support of the committee on this important amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
This amendment is offered by Senator Merrick, also Stedman and Bishop. I'll remove my objection to the adoption of Amendment Number 2. Do we have further objection to the adoption of Amendment Number 2 or comments on Amendment Number 2? Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have an objection. I just was wondering with the administration possibly changing with this runoff election that's going on, does that alter the plans for the homeless situation there in the Mist Valley of Anchorage?
Thank you to Senator Olson through the chair. I do not believe so, because when we had discussions with the whole legislative delegation from Anchorage, as well as the assembly and the mayor too, it was a priority, and I believe both candidates for the Anchorage mayor support this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's the only question I have.
Any other questions, concerns, comments, objections? Seeing no further objection, Amendment Number 2 is adopted. We'll go on to Amendment Number 3. Senator Bishop.
Mr. Chairman, I move Amendment Number 3.
I'll object.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment proposes to put back in the language that was requested by the governor. It provides 2 years of funding for a total of $1 million. The House has it in their budget, but the funding source is from the ADA receipts lines. Those funds are for other items in the budget presently. So the Alaska Resource Education Fund is a 501c3 nonprofit with its mission to educate students about Alaska's natural resources and to be informed stewards of our natural resources, Mr. Chairman. So over the past 5 years, I'll refer to it as ARE throughout the rest of my talking points, have taught over 42,000 students statewide in 53 communities. They educate our youth about careers in mining. They're mentored by industry leaders and vendors about the different types of jobs in the mining industry. And workforce developments are focused on keeping students working and living in Alaska, ensuring that they are aware of all the high-paying jobs available. Also, the ARE teaches science, technology, engineering, and math, also referred to as STEM, another curriculum to educate students on the importance of this state's natural resources. ARE teaches the life cycles of renewable energy, including solar and wind, hydropower, and biomass. And they've taught around the interior of Alaska through a myriad of schools from as far away as Allakaket all the way down to Tok, Tetlin, and everything in between. So At this time, Mr. Chairman, thanks for the latitude to offer this amendment, but I'll be withdrawing this amendment at this time.
Okay. Amendment number three is withdrawn. I think what we'll do is take a look at this issue and work it through the process as this bill goes forward through conference. Thank you, Senator Bishop. Next up, amendment number four, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment four.
I'll object.
Thank you,
Senator Keel.
Mr. Chairman, this amendment is based on a subcommittee recommendation, and it comes to the full finance table because it touches multiple departments. But there's a growing and unsustainable problem with our pretrial electronic monitoring. We spend about $4.5 million a year. That number continues to grow. And again, these are just the pretrial folks. These are folks who haven't been convicted or sentenced of anything. And one of the big cost drivers, Mr. Chairman, is folks who have been assessed with our risk assessment tool as low risk. Frankly, almost none of them ever need an electronic monitor. And as we dug into this, fingers pointed every which way but up. And we heard from the courts that it's the prosecutors and the defense attorneys who always ask for this. Judges don't make it up. And the prosecutor said, no, it's the defense attorneys or the judge and the defense attorney. On and on, everybody had an excuse for why their agency wasn't asking for this. Mr. Chairman, the numbers in this amendment reflect a best estimate of how much money we are, frankly, wasting. And it's $874,000 of unrestricted general funds. So we're coming up fast on $1 million. So the amendment as it's structured would take half the money for that pretrial electronic monitoring from whichever party asked for it if someone is low risk. Mr. Chairman, as we've prepared this amendment and worked on this, I'd be happy to walk through the how we arrived at our estimates. A couple of questions have come up about whether these estimates are exactly accurate. So, Mr. Chairman, what I'm going to do today is withdraw this amendment, and we will work on this over the interim with law, with admin, the public defender and public advocate, with the court system. But, Mr. Chairman, I can assure you that if we can't get effective and efficient use of our public safety dollars, this will come back in a future year.
So you're withdrawing the amendment?
Withdrawing amendment four at this time.
Amendment number four has been withdrawn by Senator Keel. Thank you, Senator Keel. Next amendment, amendment number five, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment five.
I'll object.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment five, this committee saw something very similar last year. This would remove the unconstitutional conditional language about abortion care that Medicaid pays for, and it would restore the general fund that was removed from the Department of Health budget in Medicaid services. Mr. Chairman, this language has been to court. This budget cut has been to court. This does not comply with Alaska's Constitution. Under our Constitution, the right to privacy, the right for a person to make their own decisions about their medical care means that if we're going to cover birth, we have to also cover a person's choice not to have a baby. And Mr. Chairman, this is an issue that's been before this committee before. I know that last year we spent some time debating it, and I have talked with the members of this committee. So as strongly as I feel about this amendment, I also know that we could spend 10, 15 minutes here, and we know what the results are. Mr. Chairman, regretfully, I am going to withdraw this amendment, but just needed to mark my objection for the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Amendment number five has been withdrawn. That concludes our formal amendments that have been submitted to the chairman. Any further amendments from committee members? Brief at ease. come back on the record. We're going to set this bill aside. We'll have a presentation tomorrow from Legislative Finance on the financial position of the state with this, with our operating budget and the upcoming mental health budget. And we'll still have it on the table in case there's a surprise or inadvertent something shows up, and we'll still be able to deal with it. So that'll be tomorrow. So next up on the agenda, House Bill 270, the mental health budget. Senator Keel, we have a motion to adopt the CS.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Finance Committee adopt Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 270 Finance, which is 33GH2490/Y as in Yakutat, as our working document.
Okay, we have a motion to adopt version Y as a CS, and I'll object for explanation.
Thank you, Mr.
Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Pete Eklund again, staff, Senator Stedman, and the Finance Committee. There's one change, was an incorporation of a April 9th amendment from the governor's office, from OMB, on page 5, lines 30 through 32. The Mental Health Trust Lands Administration and Support for $61,800 of Mental Health Trust Authority Authorized Receipts, or MTAR. This is a technical correction to rate adjustments for FY25 health insurance and PERS costs.
Any questions on that adjustment to the CS? Okay, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of version Y as our working document. Is there any amendments to be brought forth on the mental health budget for version Y? Seeing none, any further discussion before we set this bill aside? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and set the bill aside for further review. That concludes this afternoon's meeting. Next meeting, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Again, we'll consider the intent of the committee, or we'll look to the intent of the committee on both the operating budget that we just spoke about, House Bill 268 and House Bill 270, which is the mental health budget. Again, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., we're going to have a presentation on the fiscal summary by Legislative Finance before we take that action. We are adjourned at 2:11 p.m. We are adjourned.